I'm so glad to see that you were willing to come today. I make my way around this portion of the earth anyway, just telling the same story basically over and over again about somebody that I know very well, somebody who changed my life and has changed the lives of many others. But let me go back and tell you about a special day. I'll never forget this day. I work around the Sea of Galilee. And in Capernaum, we're a trading town. People bring their goods in. And I happen to see a lot of those people, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. The town was in quite an uproar, because a man who had been making a lot of excitement all over the area in Judea had come to our town. People were gathered where he was in a home, and there were so many people there that literally people couldn't get in to see him. And there was a man who'd been paralyzed all his life. And he had four friends. Amazing what some friends will do for you. And these four friends, they took this man who couldn't walk. He couldn't move from the neck down. And they wanted him to see this man because for some reason they believed all the stories that they'd been hearing. And they believed this man could literally heal their friend. So you know what they did? They couldn't get him in the house. They literally went onto the roof of the house and they started taking apart part of the roof. Can you imagine? And then they had him on a pallet, if you will. And they lowered him. Each one had a long rope. And they had four corners. There were four of them. They let him down right in front of this man. It didn't bother him at all. He looked at this man and he did something I'll never forget. He said, friend, and he was talking to this man, but he was talking to his friends as well. And he says, because of your faith, your sins are forgiven. Well, if you know anything about the culture in which I grew up in, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it, for somebody to say your sins are forgiven, the leading priests, the Sadducees, they don't like anything like that. They call it blasphemy. The Pharisees were getting upset. They couldn't understand how this man would have the gall to tell this man his sins had been forgiven. But I'll never forget this. His own words. He said, why are you so astonished that I would say his sins are forgiven? What is harder for me to say that his sins are forgiven or take up your mat and walk? Well, that set them back because it wasn't just words now. It sounded to me like he was going to do more than just words. And literally, he was. So he said, so that you will understand that I have the authority to forgive sins, take up your mat and walk. Do you know what happened? He jumped up. He took his mat and he walked. You could have heard a pin drop. But then the place exploded. They couldn't believe what they had seen. Some were scared. Some were excited. But here is what really excites me. Before he left Capernaum, he came down by the Sea of Galilee, and I could see there was a lot of excitement. People were following this man. And he came where I was working. I couldn't believe it. He came up to me. Why in the world would he come up to me? I can't understand it. I don't know. I am just thankful that he did. Now let me explain to you something. I work down by the Sea of Galilee because I am a tax collector. All right? There are duties. There are tariffs that are due. And I am a Jew, but I work for the Roman government. Now, some people really frown on what I do. In fact, you might call me an outcast because I work with the Roman government. My own people view me as an outcast, as a great, great sinner. And I will tell you that growing up, I had different things in mind. I mean, my parents named me Levi. All right? You think of the Levitical priesthood? They named me Levi. What expectations have they got? And I was fairly smart. I mean, I grew up with the same education that my friends and neighbors had. We were all schooled. And then the hope always was that some rabbi would see something special in you. And a rabbi is a teacher. And they would teach you more and more in our religion, in our laws. And so you would also learn a great deal more about God, whether it was my family or lack of family connections. You know, I'd been taught all about Moses and Aaron and Levi. But things weren't like that anymore. The priesthood was very political. The high priesthood, what a joke. To claim that you were a descendant of Aaron and worthy of being a high priest, that seemed very, very inconsistent with the people that took that office. Had to do a lot more with this. Cha-ching! And they looked down upon me because I'm a tax collector. You pay the tax up front. I go to Rome and I pay him, okay, before I ever collect it. Then I collect it, and obviously I have to make a living, so I collect more than is due because that's how I get paid, all right? And a lot of people see a lot wrong with that. Now, there are some that really take advantage of it. I can't say I never did. I'd see a really rich merchant. Yeah, I probably took more than I should have. But they weren't going to object. I mean, I had Roman soldiers there. They'd make sure it was done because I was working for Rome. But that's why the people hated my guts. I, when I was growing up, wanted to be a part of their system. I thought, okay, I'll take a job where I can make a living. And I mean, the religious leaders, like I said, who cared about me? I mean, I could count money. I could count money. I thought, hey, I'm going to watch out for myself. But it's hard being hated. It's hard being despised. Oh, but I'll never forget that day. Got to go back to that. This man came up to me. And literally, he said, follow me. Be my disciple. I told you when I was a kid, I wanted some rabbi, some teacher to say to me, follow me, I'll teach you. I mean, at this point in my life, who in the world would want me to follow them? They thought of me as scum. And this man who had just healed, this young man who couldn't walk, couldn't move. He comes up to me, right up to me, and he says, "Follow me." He told me, he said, "You know how to count change. Follow me, and I'll make your life count." You know what that said to me? I wasn't worthless anymore. I wasn't going to be degraded by my people. At least that's what I thought. This man was a great rabbi. He was a great teacher. He wanted me to follow him at my age. And after what I'd done, he wanted me to follow him. What could I say? Are you kidding me? I did it. I followed him. You know, in fact, what I did, I called all my friends. I called all my friends. And I told them, I said, "You're not going to believe what's happened today. Jesus, the one you've been hearing about, he called me. And he asked me to follow him." So I set out a spread like you've never seen. I understand you've all been feasting this week. You've been giving thanks. Well, the greatest thing ever in my life happened. And I had to give thanks. And I had to invite all of my friends. And they were excited. They had heard about Jesus. So all my tax collecting friends and some other people that I'd become acquainted with, you know, that was really special to have any friends. But most of them were tax collectors. Others were people that those same religious leaders despised. You know, they wouldn't have anything to do with us. They wouldn't have anything to do with us at all. In fact, they thought of us as literally being unclean. Do you remember your history? History of the Jewish people? If somebody had leprosy, a terrible skin disease, they would literally have to go in the community. If anybody got close, they kept them outside of the gates once there were gates. But before there were gates, they'd just scream, "Unclean! Unclean!" Well, that's how they thought of me. Because I had the audacity to want to make a living and to deal with the situation as I saw it. And so I mingled with people that these religious leaders considered unclean. And because of that, I was considered unclean. And because in their eyes, and maybe rightly so, I took advantage of some. I was unclean and I was unworthy of my own people. But at this banquet, it was great. Jesus heard what some of the Pharisees and Sadducees who'd been following him, they got Jesus' disciples' attention. And they accused them of what? Of eating a meal with me. Scummy me. Sinful, degrading me. But you know what Jesus said? Friends, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. It was great. You should have seen their faces. But then he went on and he added to it. He said, "I want you," and he's talking to these religious leaders, "I want you to show mercy." You know how, and the way he said it, and the way our words work, you know what he was really saying? "I want you to show undeserving love." And he went on and said, "Instead of sacrifice." Well, you know what he was really pointing out to them? That all your religiosity, all your separation, it doesn't work anymore. I would much rather see you show undeserving love and compassion like my God does than to exhibit sacrifice, or in another word, disdain for that which is unclean. Now remember, I was unclean. And here we have this man. I've never heard teaching like this before. It's amazing. And he's telling me, hey, it's all right. You're okay. You're not unclean. Do you think I was happy? Oh man, was I happy. Do you think everybody there at my dinner was happy? Yes, they'd never heard teaching like this before. They were accepted, and they were accepted by somebody who taught. I'm telling you, when he spoke, those religious leaders didn't know what had hit them, because he spoke with an authority that they couldn't even comprehend. They were really uncomfortable. It's the first time I'd seen the tables turned. They were uncomfortable, and we were over here, the unclean, celebrating. It was a great banquet that night. It was a great feast. And guess what? Many of my friends accepted Jesus' teachings. But I was the fortunate one, because that banquet was my farewell dinner. I had decided to just follow him. I gave it all up, but to follow this person, you know what happened after we left? It was amazing. He continued to teach. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they continued to bother him. And he put it in a story. And he tried to explain to them that what he was teaching was brand new. And if they were going to comprehend it, they had to get their mind out of the old world and into a new kind of thinking, a new way of thinking. And he put it this way. He talked about wine, and he talked about new wine, and he talked about the wineskins. And you're all familiar with that. You're not going to take new wine and put it into old wineskins because it'll burst. I understood what he was saying. Everybody understood what he was saying. Nobody had heard him speak with this kind of authority. Anyone. And here he was speaking with authority and saying things and helping us understand those things in ways we'd never heard before. So, his new teaching, it was the new wine. The old wineskins was all the old traditions, all the old rules, all the old law. And he was saying, you can't take my teaching and put it in your corrupt system. And it doesn't even work with all the old rules anymore. Because I want you to show compassion to people like me. I could follow a man like that. And you know what he did after that? There was one man. This happened immediately following. A leader of a synagogue came up to him and said, my daughter has died. Well, I'm thinking, what's he wanting him to do? The daughter's dead. This man, a religious leader, but he got it. He understood. He understood more than I did at that point. He wanted Jesus to come and raise the dead. Talk about the test. And you know what? Jesus went there. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. It didn't bother him at all. He went into that house, and he took the little girl's hand, and he told her to get up. And she did. She was now alive. Well, what does that say about this man I've chosen to follow? His name's Jesus. He can raise the dead. Not only did he breathe life into me and show me that I counted for something, but how could you not be excited about somebody like that? So yes, my life changed. It changed completely. I spent the rest of my days, or the rest of his days on this earth, with him. Now I spend my days going around and telling people these stories. No one does everything right. But here's something else I want you to know. No one does everything wrong either. We're all human beings. And you know what he taught me? All have sinned. All have sinned. It wasn't just me. All have sinned. Even those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, the whole Sanhedrin, they too were sinners, because we all fall short of God's glorious grace. We fall short of doing what is right in his eyes. So he allows his grace to come into our lives, much as Jesus did when he looked at me. And he looked right at me and he said, "Follow me." And I did. I've never regretted it. How could you? I didn't tell you the rest of the story. They killed him. These religious leaders, they trumped up charges, and they took him, and they beat him, and they crucified him. Unbelievable. And I know now this man was the Son of God. But he went willingly. But that wasn't the end of the story. You know what happened? He raised from the dead. It wasn't like when he went and saw the girl and he said, "Get up." There wasn't anybody in that tomb. They'd walled it off. Huge stone. Nobody was going to move that. Group of men, maybe. And they made up stories, the Romans did, and the high priests. And they said that we had gone there and moved that stone away. I'm here to tell you, we didn't. But he rose from the dead. He appeared to us. And then he taught us for about 40 more days. And then he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. That's why my life has changed. Because I put my faith in this man, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who could speak and paralytics walked, who could state, "Get up, little girl," and the dead would rise. He taught me so many, many things. I didn't leave everything. I gained so much. And I started to see through his eyes. When I look at you now, I see you differently. When I look at people that I used to collect taxes from, I don't see them as a mark anymore, somebody just to feed my pockets. I see them with a love I can't really comprehend, except that it comes from him. It comes from God the Father. The Spirit came and filled all of us that were called disciples. And now we can see with Jesus' eyes. But as we saw people coming to the Lord and receiving the Spirit of God in their lives, they could see in the same way that we saw. I see somebody else who's a child of God. Somebody else who needs to know the story of what God has provided and what his grace has done in my life. And I'm here to tell you, it changed me and made me a totally new person. I am a new creation because of him. Because of what he did. He became that sacrifice that's necessary to get rid of my sin and your sin. It's an amazing, amazing thing, but it's real. I walked with him. I talked with him. I saw him ascend to heaven. What about you? Have you heard this story before? Have you acted upon the truth of this message? Jesus is very real. I do believe my life now counts for something. And it's all because of Him. I told you my past life. It wasn't anything I could do. But I know without any doubt in my mind, when I leave this earth, I'm going back to be with Him. He is the Son of God. I will be in His presence. It's going to be a banquet in heaven that we can't even comprehend. It's going to be so awesome. I can't begin to describe it. All I can think about is that banquet back at my house and multiply it many times over. And there will be hosts of heaven there. And yet those sitting at the table, they're going to be me and you. Human beings who gave back to Him their lives so He could fix them. I was fixed. I became a follower of Jesus. And you can too. You need to accept the fact that He died on that cross for you. You are a sinner, just like I was. I am. But His blood that He shed covered my sin. And now in God's eyes, I'm a child of the King. How could I not leave everything? How could I not be here sharing with you right now the truth of this gospel? Yes, my name was changed. It's Matthew. Now, I wrote an account of all my experiences with Jesus. Why did I change my name? Matthew means gift of God. I'm no longer unclean. I'm Matthew. I'm a gift of God. By His grace. Not because of anything I did. In fact, I was scum. They were right. You might think that because of the way I was treated, that I would have it in for my own people. You know what? When I wrote my account for Jesus, you know who I had in my mind? My fellow Jews. So that gospel helps explain to them what Jesus did, who He is, and how they can know Him also. Just like them, you can know Him too. God loves you. That's a simple version. And He wants you to accept the gift He's provided in His Son, Jesus. And you'll be my brother and my sister in Christ Jesus. That's the most precious thing we can ever have.